And welcome to another podcast episode of the Differently Podcast, specifically during this season where we are chatting about freedom businesses, ways that you can create a business that give you either more time freedom, location freedom, freedom of purpose, freedom to associate with whoever it is that you want to associate with. And what we're doing is exploring different types of businesses that allow you to build more freedom into your life. And in today's episode, I chat with the amazing Warwick Kearns, who is known as South Africa's leading e-commerce expert. He had an incredibly successful e-commerce business where he sold GoPros, and after selling that business, decided to start the Insaka E-commerce Academy, where he teaches specifically South Africans how to start e-commerce businesses, because there are unique challenges to starting an e-commerce business in South Africa. Now, if you're listening and you're not South African, you'll still get tons of value out of this fantastic conversation I had with Warwick, because he talks about how to start an e-commerce business in general, but also how to start an e-commerce business in a country where perhaps it's not yet popular. So sit back, relax, and have a great listen. We cover things from the specifics of how to start, where to start, what steps you need to cover, why you should consider an e-commerce business or a freedom business in general, as well as how to go about getting started with some very tangible tips and things that you can download. So I can't wait to share this with you. Enjoy. Such an absolute pleasure to be chatting with you today.
Thanks for having me, Tamer.
Yes, you're welcome. You know, I got the privilege of the opportunity to see you or to see and hear you speaking on stage a couple of weeks ago, and that was the first time that I really heard your story about how you came to be considered South Africa's number one e-commerce expert. And I'd love to kick off by just chatting a little bit about that. But before we do, those who are listening know that I talk about freedom businesses, or sometimes they're called low input businesses. So I just want to set the stage that the kind of businesses that Warwick and I are talking about fall under that category. But maybe Warwick, you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself. You've won some amazing prizes. You've done some incredible things in your career. Do you want to kick us off with that?
Yeah, cool. So, you know, sometimes talking about stuff like that makes it seem like I'm gloating or I don't know, tooting my own horn, but it does, I suppose, help frame, or for people who've never heard of me before, to help them understand like what brings me to the stage to be able to talk to them about e-commerce. So, yeah, I mean, I cut my teeth in e-commerce in 2008 when I started. I went across to the UK, like many young people do, to get some first world experience. And I ended up the job I got was in an online store with an e-commerce startup in West London. And it was a really small business at the time. I was a third team member. And in the next 2.5 years, the company just exploded. It grew to 20 or I think 30 people by the time I left. And we're doing some really cool stuff. So I saw that growth and I saw how scalable e-commerce is. Amazing. And that's, and you know, that kind of started my mind thinking like, well, you know, I was always going to go home, back to SA. And I wanted to start my own business. So I thought, no, e-commerce is it. And before I left, the growth that we had had with that business, it got some nice high level recognition because we had done some big things. So we got some British awards and I was selected as London's Young Business Person of the Year for 2009, which Woo-hoo. Was really cool. I mean, yeah, from like a boasting, from a boosting of confidence, it really put me on a nice high to return home. When I returned home, I had to move back in with my parents, which kind of brought my confidence right back down to nothing because I had no money. And the little bit of money that I had, which was 8,700 Rand, I took it and I bought some stock from overseas and I brought it in and I sold that. And then I took the profits and I bought more stock and I started selling it and I started my website and it grew and grew and grew. And that business, which was Action Gear, which some people might know, it's an online seller of sports electronics. It was the first company in South Africa selling GoPro cameras and later DJI drones. And we grew that business to well over R1 million a month and also won some decent e-commerce awards for that business over the years. And I learned a thing or two, but one of the things that I kind of felt and knew within my heart was that it was such a challenging process to to walk that path on your own, because e-commerce, like a lot of people work from home, or that, and maybe they work in a co-working workplace, but you don't really have a team of people there to help you. It's really you against the world. And I wanted to try and change that, because I'd walked that path and I'd learned all the stuff the hard way by failure, really, or by trial and error. And so that was where, at the end of 2017, when I exited and I sold Action Gear, then I started the Insaka E-commerce Academy, where my goal and my vision is to help more South Africans to start their own e-commerce stores and to grow those stores into successful, profitable businesses, and to help them avoid taking the long route like I had to take. I've learned all the lessons and I can show them how to avoid all the pitfalls. And that's really what Insaka, the e-commerce academy, that's what we're doing now, is we help South African entrepreneurs to start and grow and scale their e-commerce businesses.
Wonderful. And as we're chatting, you know, I can see you as we're speaking. Obviously, if you're listening to this now, you're just getting the audio version, but you look like you're sitting somewhere quite chilled. I'm sitting with my legs up on my desk in my home office. And that's one of the beauties that having what some people might call an online business, or what I'm business has. I love that you bring up that it can be quite a lonely experience. And that was your motivation when you decided that you wanted to teach people, particularly South Africans, how to go about starting an e-commerce business, but just to provide that support that's necessary. Would you say that an e-commerce business is a kind of hands-off business, or would you say that it's something that still takes a serious amount of work?
So I think a lot of people come to e-commerce or are attracted to it because they think it is completely hands-off, or that you could set it up and that it runs itself. And to some degree, that is truthful. There are ways that you can do that. But just like any business at all that I can think of, if the business owner or if there aren't people that are driving that business, it's not going to grow and it's not going to flourish. So I do have websites which are fully automated. So orders that are received on the site are shipped from my suppliers straight to my customers. And all we have is bookkeepers that manage to make sure that we got paid from the customer and that we pay the correct invoices to our suppliers. And that's about as automated as you can get it. But those businesses, to be honest, don't do very well, because there's nobody doing marketing or being creative or doing campaigns, building it up, finding new products. You know, it's on autopilot and it's going to tick over, which is cool because it's profitable. But really, if you want to grow an online business, an e-commerce store, into a proper thriving business, then it does require you to be fully involved. There are ways, and you know, there are certainly ways that you can make it easier for yourself. And I'm a big ambassador of making things easier for yourself. Tamara, I don't know if you can see, my legs are also up on my desk. I'm a big fan of ease and effortlessness are my two big things. And today it's become so much easier to automate a lot of your business. Back when I started out many years ago, everything was very difficult to get right. Now there's so many service providers in South Africa and right around the world who they've made it their business to make your business easier. So you might pay for them to use their software or to use their services, but it frees up so much of your capacity. And like previously, where I needed big teams of people to run parts of my business, now I can use artificial intelligence to do what they all did. So I don't need that team to do that on those businesses. And so you can make it easier for yourself. You can also make it difficult for yourself. But to answer your question, if somebody came to me saying, can I have a hands-off, completely no involvement business, then I'd say that e-commerce isn't it.
Yes. Well, and I think that would extend to most businesses that happen online. And I'm so glad that you were upfront and honest and truthful about that. And it's the reason that I use the term low input business, not the common term that some people use where they talk about passive income business. Yeah. There is such a thing as passive income, and you might get it in investing, etc. But if we're talking about a business, which an e-commerce business is, and absolutely we live in extraordinary times where we can use software and we can pay subscriptions, which would be much less than if we were building our own teams, but you're not off, you know, on a beach 24/7. 7 days a week, and your money's ticking in like you sometimes see.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people who come to us with that perception, they've been on YouTube and they've typed in the, they've gone to Google typing in the term the easiest business to start with no money. And when you type that into Google, the answer every single time is dropshipping with e-commerce.
Right.
So dropshipping is a form of e-commerce where instead of buying products and putting them in your warehouse or in your house and then shipping it to your customers, rather dropshipping is where you have an arrangement where your supplier sends the order straight to your customer. So you don't actually buy any stock up front. You just list the supplier's stock products on your site. And when customers order from you, the supplier sends to the customer. So sounds it's a very, that does sound great, and it is great. And that's how my automated businesses work. But it's quite difficult to get that right in the South African context. If you look on YouTube, you'll find a whole bunch of 16-year-old millionaires in the US who are using software there. And they're like, it is set up to be able to cope with that because the suppliers are on board, the software is there. And the challenge with South Africa, and I don't want this to be a dropshipping podcast episode, but the short version of why this doesn't work in South Africa is because our pricing laws mean that the wholesalers can't dictate a price that the retailer will sell it at. So in America, somebody can say, you know, if you're selling a GoPro camera, it needs to be $700. And if it's anything less, I'm going to sue you. In South Africa, if you said that, you would be sued. It's exactly our pricing laws don't allow suppliers to control the price.
Wow.
So in a dropshipping point of view, where this becomes complicated is that wholesalers don't want to open up their products to dropshippers that they don't know and that they don't have a relationship with, because those dropshippers could very easily drop the price to compete with retail shops. Mm-hmm. But those retailers they've got skin in the game. Like they've bought products, they've been doing marketing, and then these dropshippers come in and undercut them. And it just upsets the whole balance of everything in South Africa. So it's really difficult to get right without having those relationships in place. And then of course, people try and ship from Alibaba or from Wish to South African customers. And when the customer after 90 days and they still haven't got their products, then they get upset, rightfully so.
Oh, sure.
And so dropshipping in a South African context is really not as easy as YouTube and the bunch of 16-year-old millionaires make it out to seem. The way that it does work in South Africa is to just like do normal e-commerce, buy stock, hold it, and send it off. If you've got a good relationship, then you don't always have to buy stock from the suppliers. You can dropship the orders here and there, but online selling is just an online version of having a retail store, you know. Have the right products, have the customer expertise, product expertise, great customer service, get customers to come back again and again. And then like once you've got the store online, it then goes back to just like normal retail, like or normal business, getting customers in the door, making sure that they're happy, make sure that they tell their friends and that they come back again. And really that's kind of the advantage though, is that you can do so from home with your feet on the desk. And you can do it from wherever you want, you know, if that's the beach of Belito or the beach of Bali, provided you've got your laptop, you can work remotely.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you went into the detail around how it's different for South Africans as opposed to people who are based in the US. You might be listening to this now from anywhere in the world, but since I'm South African sitting on the east coast of South Africa now, and Warwick is also in South Africa, although somewhere else, what is happening in the South African climate is very relevant to us. And I think the concept of a lower input business is still something that seems a little bit fairy tale to most South Africans. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time just reinforcing that is not as crazy or unrealistic goal as it might seem. There are South Africans who have lower input businesses, whether they're e-commerce businesses or any of the other businesses you might hear in this series. And the reason for doing that is as individual as the people who have decided to pursue this as an option. But what work you've just mentioned is that while e-commerce might not be a time freedom business, although it can certainly give you more free time if you put your systems in place, it certainly is a location independent business, meaning you can be doing it from wherever it is that you are. And that's particularly relevant. I mean, it's March 2020 now, and we're sitting in the hype in the midst of the coronavirus having sort of gripped everybody's attention. South Africa largely unaffected at the moment, although I think we've got about just under 20 cases reported in the last week. So we may, who knows when you're listening to this, but we may or may not have seen something dramatic happen. But what I certainly have seen is people in countries, for example, right now, Italy, which is in a literal total lockdown. I just saw a post before we hopped on this conversation around Italy being in a circumstance that they haven't been in since kind of World War II, where you literally risk arrest or fine by crossing defined zones of the city. And that has split families up and partners. I was just reading a friend of mine who I know saying they can't go and see their boyfriend because they can't cross the city. And for me, that's crazy town. Yet something like a business where you can be sitting in your office with your feet up isn't really affected in terms of your ability to be productive. What are your thoughts on that with regards to the e-commerce model specifically?
Yeah, you know, well, I'm certainly happy that I'm not in a big corporate office right now.
Yes.
Shaking hands or trying not to shake hands with people. Absolutely. So from that point of view, when something like this happens, hopefully it doesn't happen all that often, then you are free to work from home or to pick up your laptop and go off to a remote area and put yourself away from anything that's going on. But yeah, you know, just in terms of being able to be location free, it's 100% location free, provided you have your systems in place. But I've gone 4 months without being in an office. A couple of years ago, my wife and I cycled up Africa. And the one interesting thing about Africa is that there's great internet everywhere, which was awesome because I had my laptop and whenever I wanted, I could just log in, check how sales were going, making sure that orders were being sent out, making sure invoices were being paid. And then I'd jump back on my bicycle and carry on going. And we were in the remotest areas of Africa and I could still operate my online business. So there's a pretty extreme example of how remote it can really be.
Absolutely. And I mean, I can relate to that. If you're listening to this for the first time and you don't know me, I also have sort of what I call freedom or low input businesses. One of them being information products, which you can listen to in another episode, and another being a low input Airbnb business where I have teams of people running Airbnb spaces. And my husband and I are big overlanders, so we go as often as we can on overland trips into Africa, and I can relate. I mean, he's got a system set up where all we have to do when we cross the border into a new African country is get a SIM card, and he's got a little system that we put in our vehicle, and we've got internet as if we're at home. So that is one of the big advantages of being a cell phone based, internet based society like we are. And I'm super, super, super grateful for that. So I want to ask you, Warwick, you talked about going on a trip into Africa, and you talked about wanting to teach other people in South Africa e-commerce. Is that your big why? So that you can travel and that you can teach other people? Why do you continue to do this? You had a very successful business, you sold it. I mean, what's keeping you going? Why are you doing it?
Yeah, so that's a question that becomes clearer to me, or the answer becomes clearer to me all the time now. And it's about, firstly, I started teaching e-commerce because I saw the need for people to get the information that I found was second nature to me. So I saw the day they had a big struggle, and I kind of felt guilty about the fact that it was actually a lot easier than people thought. And they were making it out to be this big scary thing, and I could actually just show them how to do it. And to be honest, I also saw a business opportunity in that, because online education is a great growing market at this time. But it's become a lot bigger than that. It's become almost a sense of purpose, because what I see is that the training that we're putting out and the information that I'm helping people to understand is really helping them much. Well, it's having a bigger impact than I thought it would. What I'm seeing is a whole bunch of people having a lot of success, or a whole bunch of other people who are just taking the first steps. And the feedback that I'm starting to get, it used to be, oh, you know, I launched my website, or, oh, I got my first sale, or, oh, I made 10,000 Rand, or, oh, I got 100,000 Rand. But now what I'm seeing is that my students are saying, oh, you know, I've hired my 10th person. Wow. And, oh, we've moved into bigger offices and we've now hired more and more people. And what really gives me goosebumps as I'm talking about this is that, you know, South Africa, or many countries around the world, the biggest problem is unemployment. Yeah. And when somebody creates their online store, often that's a sideline project. It's a side hustle. And if that can become a full-time job for them, then yes, it's probably their intention was to create an opportunity for themselves. But what they've done in that moment is when they've moved out of full-time employment into their own job and become their own boss, and they've opened up another job, because when they leave the corporate world, somebody else steps in. So now where there was one job, now there's two. And wow. when they start employing people, that really gets me excited, because I know with teams of people that I've hired, and I've seen the impact of somebody who maybe came from another company or didn't have a job at all. And when you employ them, like what that does, you know, what a disastrous situation to be in, to not be able to work or get work. And now the bigger why for me is that I see that e-commerce is a really critical area for growing the economy of our country and any country around the world. It really is, because what I know is that e-commerce is the easiest stepping stone into entrepreneurship. And there's two reasons for that. Because it's very easy, firstly, and you can do it in your spare time. You can set up an online store in your spare time while you're still working full time. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you didn't lose anything.
Sure.
So from the ease point of view, it's much easier than many other businesses. But from a low risk point of view, it also is a business that you can start without investing all of your life savings into this, because you can start without staff. You can start without hiring a shop or shop fitting or signing a lease on big offices. You can do it from the comfort of your home. And when you're buying inventory, I'm sure any entrepreneur would be pretty savvy to buy, you know, a little bit of inventory. You're not going to take all the money out of your home loan and put it into a product that may or may not work. So you can start it easily, and you can start it with low risk. And when these businesses work out, which not everybody does, not every business does, but when it does, it starts to create jobs, and it starts to build up the economy. And I'm seeing many more of our students that are hiring people, building up big businesses. And, you know, Jack Ma, he recently was interviewed at the World Economic Forum, and he said that that e-commerce is the future, firstly. But what he went on to say is that e-commerce isn't an opportunity for big businesses. E-commerce is an opportunity for developing countries and for small businesses to become big businesses. And if you think about how far e-commerce has come since like just 20 years, I mean, it's in South Africa, less than 20 years, around the world, maybe 20 years that people have been selling online, you know, maybe the late 1990s. And in that time, e-commerce has really kicked off. I mean, you can't argue with the fact that it's here to stay, and it's grown phenomenally. And if you think of the basis that it's done that on, there's been like really bad payment options. The courier companies, only in the recent years, they've actually started to do a decent job. The website platforms and the ease of access to that has been really difficult and clunky and bad in the past. Now, websites are easy to set up. I mean, anybody, and you can, I show my students, it's easier than people think. I know you might think that you can't do it, or that it's complicated, or you need to be a techie, but really, I mean, our training shows people how to do it. And anybody, even my grandmother, set up a website. It's a lot easier than people think. And then like challenges like payments and deliveries and stuff, that's all taken care of. And if we look at how structured and how established it is now, after maybe just 20 years, imagine what the next 20 years is going to look like with all of that in place, where websites are super easy. I can build a site in under an hour. And payment is not only enabled, but it's also trusted, where deliveries happen quicker than people need it to. And it's all set up and ready to go. So the foundation has been laid on something that's already been able to grow and thrive in a space where the foundation wasn't there. And now the foundation is there. So the next 20 years of e-commerce is going to be pretty exciting, I've got to say. And I'm very glad to be a part of that and to help people to embrace it, because you don't want to be left behind. Traditional retail is suffering, and traditional retail is going to take the brunt of the hit when e-commerce booms, which it already is. Then a lot of those sales will be coming out of the pocket of people who are just trying to sell from brick and mortar stores. And there's never going to be a situation where e-commerce takes over brick and mortar stores, but certainly the slice of the pie is going to be growing in favor of e-commerce moving forward.
That makes sense. I'm glad that you talked about the boom that's coming, because if you're sitting listening now and you're thinking, well, I've actually never bought anything online, like surely not, who's buying things online? I say that to myself because I buy things online. I mean, I recently ordered some vitamins again in the panic that people are wanting to keep themselves healthy at the moment. And they arrived like within 2 days, which is magical, because I don't actually like going into shops. So I've been personally buying things online for a while, because who wants to hang out in a mall if they don't have to? But I know that's not the sentiment of everyone. So what would you say to those people who think, listen, I don't buy things online. Can I really start a business? I mean, I don't buy things online anymore. I always go to shops. Can I start a business selling things online if I'm not the kind of person who buys things online? What would you say to that person?
I suppose there's two sides of that. Firstly, the question mark around whether e-commerce is established and whether it is truly an opportunity.
Yeah.
I think if you looked outside your window at the street, you'd probably within a few minutes, you'd see a delivery van going past you to go and deliver somebody's online order.
Yes.
So it is absolutely established.
It's happening. Yeah.
It's happening. It's here to stay. And it's only going to grow. And then from somebody, who doesn't necessarily shop online, like, could you start an online store? Well, you absolutely can. The e-commerce website building platforms, when I started in 2008, like, I needed almost a rocket science degree to be able to upload products and to be able to create a menu and to be able to take payments. Oh my gosh, payments online back in the day were super difficult. Now, yeah. Literally within an hour, I can set up a website. And yes, I do have more experience than most listening, but I can also show people how to do that. And many of our students had started with no experience at all. People who could barely type or didn't know how to use a mouse. Like, that's where some of my students started. And they also had this kind of negative expectation to say, well, I'm BC, I'm before computers. I'm not ready for this. This isn't my time. But I'd encourage them to embrace it. Maybe go, if you've never shopped online before, give it a try. If you're worried about typing your credit card details into a website, let me tell you that shopping online with your credit card is actually the safest way to shop anywhere at all in the world. Because if there is a fraudulent or anything that goes wrong, your parcel doesn't arrive or whatever, your bank will refund it to your credit card. And that's just a fact. So don't worry about that. And if your question is like, well, will it arrive or can I trust these guys? Well, start slowly and start with one of the big e-commerce websites in the country where, you've got to be able to trust those guys. Start slowly, give it a try. Next time you need to order some wine or stuff that you're already ordering for your house, maybe, it's Corona time and you need to order some hand sanitizer, order it online and see what happens. And then ask the courier delivery guy to use some hand sanitizer before giving you the parcel.
Exactly. I mentioned that I heard you speak a couple of weeks ago at an event we both spoke at, and I was really inspired with the concept of an e-commerce business. I have multiple businesses, but not an e-commerce one. And like most people, once I made the decision, okay, this is actually something I'm going to do, the first thing that came to mind for me was, okay, well, what am I going to sell? So maybe you want to chat a little bit about, I'm sure that's a very common question that you get, and what's the starting point?
Yeah. So, I mean, that is a challenge that a lot of people need to overcome because you need to have something to sell, right?
Yes. And not just anything. I mean, it's not necessarily just going to be like my hobby or is it? Like, how would I choose? Am I the person, if I want to buy glitter, does that mean other people want to buy glitter? Like, how will I even know?
Yeah. So I do advise people start with something that they love because it's far easier to have a business with something that you like and you can get passionate about than selling something that you don't like at all.
Okay.
In terms of how wide to go or how wide to cast your net, because some people want to start and they want to start like an outdoor shop, like a sports shop and sell everything under the sun in terms of sports. But where I see people having more success is to niche down. So to focus on something that something that you're passionate about or something that you can build an expertise in. Because if somebody is looking to buy something and they're not, and there's no questions, they know what they want. They don't have to ask any questions. They'll just be looking for the cheapest price. And in that case, they'll probably end up on Amazon or Takealot or one of the big eBay sites that are just selling it and they look for the best price and they order it. But where smaller businesses really gain traction and start to grow into thriving businesses is when you become an expert or somebody who has a lot of experience within a particular product range. So mm-hmm. with my business, we were the first people selling GoPros in the country, and soon every shop in the mall was selling GoPros. But we still were the biggest independent seller of those cameras in the country for many years because people would walk into one of the big retail shops and they'd say, I'm a mountain biker. Which camera do I need? Which mounts do I need? And I wish this wasn't the case, but the guys in the shop didn't know the answers to this. They couldn't give that advice. So then they would find us and they would get on the phone to us, or they would come and visit our shop. And they would ask us these questions, and we would say, geez, well, I'm a mountain biker too. So I can tell you, you want to get a mount to put it on your handlebars and one on your seat post so you can film the guy behind you. And you want to get a chest mount and you want an extra battery. And oh, you're going to need a carry case and a spare memory card and. And you know, it helps you to sell more stuff, but you give the person a great customer experience. And that's sure. why they come to small startup businesses, which grow into big thriving businesses, because you gain you build a customer base of people who know that you are the experts. As soon as you start to go wide, then you start to dilute that. And when people phone you for particular answers to their questions, then you don't know the answer to that if you're selling just a whole bunch of stuff. And so that's where I think is a good place to start. Maybe something that you're passionate about or something that you see that you can build expertise on. Where to find those products? You can certainly start to import into your country or see if you can chat to the local wholesaler to see if you can resell for them. If you're really starting out from day one, I would advise you to kind of take a look around you and what's in your network and see what products you can get access to with ease. So maybe your uncle's got a business which has a warehouse full of particular items. I would go and speak to that uncle and say, well, you know, can I set up a website listing your products? And when I get orders, we're going to drop ship them from you to the customer. That's like the easiest drop shipping business you can do. And there you're not buying a whole bunch of stock up front and you're just arranging it. And to be honest, that's a complete win-win situation because that uncle of yours has got a warehouse full of products and they want to sell that stuff. And you're offering them a new avenue to markets, an e-commerce website where you can not just sell to people that are walking past the front door, but you can sell to people right around the country. And so you can start looking at that. And you know, if people are looking for new and innovative products, one of my best hacks that they can do is to go and look on Amazon's bestseller section. If you type in Amazon bestsellers, you'll end up on a section of Amazon, which is their algorithm generated products, which are the bestsellers at this time at this point in time. And you can go and look at those products. And I've had a lot of success with this myself, is you go and see which products are the bestsellers on Amazon right now, and then go and see if those products are available for sale in your country. And where I've done pretty well on this in the past is I go and I find something that's on Amazon as a bestseller right now, and I find something that nobody else is selling in my country. And guess what I do? I get a whole stack load of it from Alibaba, list it on my site and all the marketplace websites. And all of a sudden you've got a best-selling product in your country. You're the only person doing it and you can sell a ton of them. So that's kind of what I've done in the past. And it's a good way for people who are starting out to identify big hot products to get their hands on.
That's amazing. And I love that you talk about starting with what you've got access to, which is probably a paradigm shift for myself from an e-commerce perspective, because as I said to you, I was like, okay, great, I want to start, but what am I going to sell? And then I imagined there was going to be some like complicated analysis I have to do to find out what's going to sell the best. But one of the things that I teach in my Airbnb program is look at the spaces that you've got access to. You've probably got access to stuff. And it's a very similar concept that you've just shared. You may have people in your network, whether it's your family or your extended network, who you can already collaborate with, and it becomes a win-win situation. And for me, that feels like such a relief to know, you know what, actually, let me just start with where I am, what's going on around me, and how can I start benefiting from that already?
Yeah, that is a great place to start. And I suppose it is very similar to what you teach about looking in your network for Airbnb space.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, that just takes the pressure off of having to think that you need to be the one who's going to invent or create or buy or take on this huge risk and take on huge loans. There are people around you who have resources available. In this case, they're selling stuff and maybe they don't have any online savvy, and you can become that piece. So that's fantastic. And then of course the hack of seeing what's available and doing really well on major sites and then making that available wherever you are in the world is basically a no-brainer. So I think those two hot tips alone for people who are starting their e-commerce business tomorrow as a result of listening to this is gonna be fantastic. And once you've decided what you're gonna sell, then what are there important steps to take if you want to kind of just give somebody who's thought, okay, this is for me, just a sort of high level taster of what the next steps are?
Yeah, absolutely. So the very next step that somebody would need to kind of approach would be, how are they going to build their website? You can absolutely go and pay a developer to do this for you. In today's day and age, as I said earlier, it's become easier and easier to do things like this yourself. And I'd encourage you to give it a go. Unless you really want to pay somebody a lot of money to do something that you can do yourself. But the two easiest platforms to work on are WordPress and Shopify. Now, WordPress is traditionally a blogging platform, but it does have e-commerce functionality. And Shopify is a platform which is designed for e-commerce. Now, the big plus about WordPress is that it's absolutely free. The downside is that there is zero support. So when you have a question, you've got to figure it out yourself. With Shopify, you do pay $29 a month, but the support is endless. Like there's chat people there to help you all day long. You can even get on a phone call with anybody to ask for help on your site. So for me, the choice for anybody starting out kind of comes back to your own experience and expertise with website building. If you know what HTML is and you're confident with that, then go with WordPress. If you aren't, if that HTML doesn't make any sense to you, or if you're terrified of code, which, and this includes me here, then go for Shopify, because you can very easily set up your store. It's the interface for me feels like Facebook. If you can upload a photograph to Facebook, then you can upload a product to Shopify, and you can very quickly start to build up your site, get it active. There's free training. There's lots of support. And before you know it, your site is ready to go live. You get a payment processor within your own country. Again, these things, when I first did it, it took me months to get right. Now it's so established, you can do it within minutes. Deliveries also, you can get a courier to come and collect from your door and take it to your customer. So it's really just a case of finding your product, firstly, signing up your website, adding those products, turning on payment, and then making your site live. Because as soon as you've done those few things, you now have a business that's online, ready to take orders and ready to make you some money. The next steps beyond that is marketing, getting traffic to your sites and converting that traffic into paying customers. And that is something that you learn with a bit of practice, but there's lots of training out there on that also.
Great. Simple and clear steps. In the work that I've done with people who are starting an internet-based business or freedom business, I've found that one of the number one things that hold people back is fear. And that's usually what holds them back from starting, even. They hear people talking about this amazing thing and they think, gee, that would be wonderful, but they don't take action. And I have concluded that they're paralyzed by fear. What would you say to somebody who's listening, who's thinking, that's for somebody else, but I could never do it. I'm terrified that I'm going to make a mistake. My computer's going to explode, or I won't be able to deliver the product, or.
Yeah, and I can echo your sentiment that a lot of people do look at this as a big, hairy, scary thing that, you know, yeah. I wouldn't know where to start. The steps that we just went through are a good way to start. But if you're still worried about even crossing the starting line and you're fearful of what might happen further down the line, then I would actually turn that question around and say, you know, what would happen? Where are you going to be in a year's time or 10 years time if you don't start with e-commerce? Great. Are you going to miss this boat? Because this train is leaving the station. It's already underway. And my fear for people is that they don't get on board, is that they miss out completely and that you become, my father would hate me to hear me say this, but you know, my old man, he won't operate a smartphone and he won't learn how to do it because he's so far behind. Yeah. And he's fearful of going through that process. Now, he should have started operating smartphones when they first came out, so he didn't feel that he was behind. And I'll tell you, he could figure it out. Anybody can learn how to use a smartphone these days if you just embrace it and give it a try and just hold one in your hand and start playing with it. And this is the same. You've got to try. And for me, the bigger fear is actually the fear of missing out completely and being out of the times, missing out on this, not the opportunity even, but if you don't start shopping online and in a few years' time, that's the way the world works and you're too scared to do it, then for me, that is a bigger fear. That's something that I would be more concerned about than the fear of not starting your online store.
I love that reframing. That's really, really powerful to think about what are you going to be missing out on in terms of your changes that could happen in your life. Where is the world going to be in 10 years from now? How much income could you be having? How many walks on the beach could you have done if you were location independent and based in a place that you want to be, whether it's a walk in the forest or a mountain bike ride? I think that's really, really powerful. But on a level of specificity, like if you are feeling afraid, there are kind of tools and tactics that you could use to help yourself. One of my favorite ones is delivered in Tim Ferriss's TED talk, where he talks about fear setting. Again, I'm sitting where I can see behind me. I've got a whole bunch of books, and like the first four or five of them are Tim Ferriss's, because I'm an enormous Tim Ferriss fan.
I've got my the 4-hour work week, which I see on your shelf, is also sitting behind me on my work shelf.
It's basically where I live and die by the principles of the 4-hour work week. I'm a huge evangelist of that. And the first TED talk that Tim Ferriss gave, he talked about fear setting, and I love the idea of it, because we are very used to the idea of goal setting, which is, you know, sit down, write your goals, and then work up a plan to get there. And he says, okay, that's great, but if you're paralyzed by fear, you need to follow a similar process, and you write down your fear, and then you don't leave it there. You go to a worst case scenario. What is going to happen if this fear comes to be? And then you actually make a plan of what you would do. And I found that really powerful. So say the worst thing that's going to happen is, you know, somebody's going to write you a terrible review, evil on the internet, which, by the way, happens on a fairly regular basis. If you're prepared to put yourself out there, it certainly happened to me. I had somebody in Mexico call me evil the other day. And then you write what? And, you know, okay, I delete the comment, or okay, I have a cry, or okay, I write a response, or whatever it is that what action you would take. And I find just that exercise psychologically is really powerful to help you to take action in the face of fear. Because I don't think the fear goes away. The definition of bravery is literally to take the steps anyway. And I find that having a plan of what you would do in a worst case scenario really helps with that.
I agree with that completely. Sometimes where my mind starts running on anything I'm fearful of, work-wise, money-wise, family-wise, whatever, it does help to play out the worst case scenario. And whenever I've done that, I've actually ended up thinking, well, that actually isn't as bad as I thought it would be.
It's not going to be the end of the world. It demystifies it. It often isn't as terrible as you think. And even if it is terrible, it's not the end of the world, or it's not the end of your life necessarily. Are there any other tips that you use in your life, Warwick, to help you take action in the face of fear anyway?
Yeah, sure. So I think as an entrepreneur or anybody who's doing something new, crossing the starting line is probably the most difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I think whenever I've been in that position where I'm kind of frozen by inaction or trying to research more before I actually take any action, then
procrastinating, procrastinating researching.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at all that stuff. And
me too.
What I do is I actually just give myself three super small steps to get myself across that start line. And then I do those three things, because as soon as I found that I've started, then I start to gain momentum, and three things become 10 things. And then all of a sudden I'm actually underway. But if I didn't give myself three small, tiny little insignificant tasks to do, then I would never have started. And that's not just related to e-commerce. That's in anything, whether it's becoming fitter, eating healthier, starting a new business, or anything. I just find three quick things, three quick wins, things that give me the momentum. That's how I always start to gain traction.
That's great. And what that leads to is a phenomenon I only recently learned about called an upward spiral. I think most people are familiar with a downward spiral, like you get some bad news, you take your kind of ice cream out the fridge, you get on the couch, you put some Netflix on, and the next thing you know, you're like a season down of whatever you landed upon. And that could be called a downward spiral. And I'm sure we're all familiar with that, but the exact same mechanism happens in an upward direction, and it comes from momentum. You take a small step, you feel good about that. You take another step, you start to see some positive results. And the next thing you know, you're well on your way, 15, steps down the plan, and some momentum is created. So I think that's really fantastic, especially just to say what are the three things, not the 100 things that I need to do, you know, in 6 months' time. Makes it really manageable.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the core strengths of myself or anybody who's doing something, and maybe you'd agree with this, is that to live in a world of uncertainty is a requirement or something that is part of being an entrepreneur. To live in a world of not having all the answers, not knowing what's around the next corner, and being okay with that. Because as you start a business or as you do anything new, that is your journey. And you need to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. And that's how I always feel, even with what I'm doing these days, is I don't know what's going to happen. Like next month, I have some kind of plans. How that's going to work out, I honestly don't know. But I'll figure it out. By the time it comes up, I'll have the answers. But I'm okay with not knowing. Because if I made sure that I knew everything before it happened, then I would probably have taken no action at all.
Yeah. And even the process of becoming okay with the uncertain and the, sitting in the discomfort of that is a kind of muscle that you exercise. Because if you just heard Warwick say that and you're like, oh shit, that's not me. I need to know everything all before I take one step. Maybe that's how you feel now. But it's a muscle that you exercise, getting more comfortable with the uncertainty. And perhaps there's a slight element of personality disposition on how uncomfortable you are to start off with. But for me, it definitely feels like a learned skill and something that takes practice.
Very true.
To bring this conversation to a close, I am completely sold on e-commerce. I'm jumping into the very next thing that you're offering, which is for people to be able to learn from you. What closing thoughts would you want to leave those listening with?
Yeah, so just in terms of e-commerce and what the path in front of you looks like, if you wanted to explore this route, I'd encourage you to approach it with the understanding that it's easier than it's ever been. So all the difficulty that I had to go through when I first started out, you don't have to do that. What the truth is that there are a whole bunch of companies who have made it their business to make it as easy for you as possible to be able to start your business. So it really is way easier than it ever has been, and it's way easier than it ever has been. And there's an opportunity to get in now and to get ahead of the curve, because what's going to happen in the near future is that as it's become so easy, it takes away the challenge and the problem of it being difficult, but it presents a new challenge and a new problem of it's so easy, you're going to have a lot of competition. And so there's this turning point, which is happening right now as you're listening to this, where you need to get in now so that you can get ahead of the learning curve and start figuring out how this works. Because in a few months and years time, it's going to become such a crowded space, because it's so easy that the biggest challenge and problem then is not going to be, how do I start my website? It's going to be, how do I compete? And if you can get in now, you can get yourself ahead of that curve. And I'd love to see more and more people doing that, so that they can get one foot in the door, start figuring it out, and then start taking advantage of the ease of this business to create a successful and sustainable business for themselves.
That's fantastic. Warwick, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure to listen to, firstly, your journey and how difficult it was for you, and how you started, you know, outside of South Africa and then realized that you needed to find a way to operate in South Africa. But much more importantly, how your work that you're doing now, teaching other South Africans to start, has become really this purpose-driven business that is creating this employment opportunities. And, you know, I actually got a bit tearful listening to that part where you were sharing that, because nothing feels more important right now than people being able to have an opportunity to provide for their families, and then more importantly actually live a life of their bucket list dreams, which is entirely possible if you're a location independent and you're earning not just a living wage but a wage that allows you to have the money to do what it is that you want to do. And for me, it's a no-brainer that e-commerce is one of the very clear pathways to do that. So I'm so grateful that you have shared that here with me now and those listening, but more importantly, that you continue to teach people how to do that. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. And thanks for giving me this platform and letting me speak to your audience and spreading the message. It's been great talking to you. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. And there you have it, our fantastic chat. I'm so grateful to Warwick for sharing all of that insight. I personally am going to start an e-commerce business with the challenge that Warwick is running at the moment, which is a 5-day e-commerce challenge. He literally is taking us through how to start an e-commerce business and set up your shop in 5 days. So if you want to go ahead and follow along with me, the challenge that's taking place, you can subscribe at the link that is below this recording, and we can do that together. I cannot wait, and I'll see you there.